You will keep in perfect peace the mind that is what? Stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. Peace comes from focusing on that Jesus that was nailed to the cross. If you don't find your peace in him, you only find more troubles when she comes. That's the wife. No, she can only bring you more troubles. Two sad people, two confused people getting married. They can't make. Look, yourself, go do mathematics. You want to add two together. Do you understand? To give you plus. Both of them must be plus. A confused man marries a confused woman is more confusion. A confused man marries a stable woman is still confusion. A stable woman and a stable man is the one that brings peace. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? What am I trying to say? You settle your confusion with God at the cross. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't use a wife to settle your problems. The reason why you're not, you know, you're saying, that guy, why does he behave like that? Let him go and marry. The wallah that all of you could not handle. You want to give one poor girl? No. Why does he behave like that? Let him focus on the cross of Christ. Are you following the point I'm making? Listen. Like I said, my main message is from that particular verse of scripture. Also, let's read one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember, we started by reading the story of Peter. What happened to Peter in Matthew chapter 14? When the Lord Jesus said to him, come, the immediate response was based upon the word. And as long as he focused on the word and upon the Lord that gave that word, he found that he was able to succumb the challenges of life. He was able to float on the waters. He was able to ride above the waves. And then life began to distract him. I dare to say it. The major problem of life are the distractions that many things constitute to us. A lot of times people feel that they are poor, so they are distracted trying to solve their poverty. I have to work, so I can't go for Bible studies. I can't go and study the Word of God. I have to do this, I have to do that. Then some have become prosperous. Then prosperity again becomes what? A distraction. In life, you have to fight all these distractions. That's the point I'm making. Let me say something to Christians again. Listen to this. When God gave them the healing for the serpent's attack, I noticed he did not focus on find the snake and kill it. Did you hear what I said? A man got bitten by the serpent. Part of the prescription did not include you must look for the serpent and kill it. Look at the wound and let's see how the wound is. Did it strike you with both fangs or one missed the skin while it was going in? What was the depth of penetration of the fangs into the skin? Let's analyze it. How old is the man that was struck? All those things were not necessary. All he said is what? Just focus. Listen, I am persuaded about this. Sometimes in life, our problems become a distraction to us while we are trying to solve them. Let me explain what I'm saying. Once somebody called me, told me something, what do I do? I wanted to have a child and all of that. I said, for once, take your mind off this child matter. Are you hearing what I said? There's something that struck me, okay? Okay, just open to that 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll read in a moment. But I want you to notice something from that Matthew chapter 6 that we do read once in a while. The book of Matthew chapter 6. Now you start from verse, of course, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. From verse 24. Now I'm going to read down to 30 something, but because it's quite long and we are very conversant with this portion of the scriptures, I will jump here and there, okay? From verse 24, he said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot. Please, you must be careful to note the choice of words. He didn't say you will not or you should not. What did he say? You cannot. It's a matter of you can't. You cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life. That's because you can't serve God and mammon. I am saying to you, don't worry about your life. That if you are worrying about your life, you are beginning to serve mammon. As to what you shall eat, what you will drink, or worry about your body as to what you will put on. He said, life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. They talk about the birds of the air, who don't go through all these hassles, yet the Father feeds them. He said, you are worth more than they. Verse 28 says that, why are you worried about clothing? Observe the lilies. They don't go through all these hassles, yet they are better dressed than Solomon was in all of his glory. And I said, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear for our clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Why shouldn't you worry? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first, verse 33, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now let me stop here. There's a reason why I read this. I want you to understand something. Anything Jesus says, he means. Amen? Amen? If he said, you should not worry about something, you know what that means? You shouldn't worry about it. What does it mean to worry about something? Yes, we should discuss it. What does it mean to worry about something? Now, this is what a lot of us think about worrying is about. I'm in my house. You knock on the door. I'm alone. You knock and knock and knock. I don't hear you. You knock and knock. Finally, you open the door. And you see me pacing up and down. Bang! Why did you call me? What are you worried about? My brother, is it rent? Now, that's a picture of worry. Are you getting my point? Experience has taught me that is not the, that is the extreme, and that's the way. That is what? Extreme worry. Worry starts much earlier than that. Let me give you my testimony again. I was a very good sleeper, and these days I've recovered my sleeping. What used to take my sleep away recently is Kingdom World Ministries work, waking up at night, trying to do this and that. I've recovered my sleep. I sleep good now, all right? But before that, I was a very good sleeper. I've always been a good sleeper. People say that they can't sleep. I used to wonder, why can't you sleep? Why can't you sleep? When you lie down, does the sleep not come? Because my own problem used to be to fight off the sleep. You know, I'm the kind of person that they say, okay, let's pray all night. We need the drum. You know, when you go to church, when you go to church, you say they want to do all night prayer. And you know, in all honesty, I'm one of those people that, you know me now, but I don't believe in all those kind of things. As any prayer, you can't pray during the day. You understand? There's no guarantee that God will hear it at night. Forget all of these things. Oh boy, if you want to sleep, go and sleep. Oh, let me not go there now. What is wrong with, nothing is wrong with all night prayer, but there's nothing, there's no space. It's just all night time. I don't know whether I get my point. It is the time. Listen, if you, Jesus used to do it at night because during the day, you said, no waiting, you know what used to happen now. The multitude will be with him. So it's when they've all gone. He now get up and go and pray all night. You understand? So if you walk morning till evening, and occasionally you need to spend time praying, that's when you do it. It's not as if we do all night. It's not more potent than all day. Do you follow? All right? The Lord is good. So I'm just trying to emphasize the kind of person that I've always been. I'm the kind of person, you say, pray all night. You need, so you know, of course, in churches, that is how you know we really don't can't do the online prayer. We do half of the night singing, beating drum, and dancing. Why do we do the dancing? Because all the brethren will fall asleep if you don't. I always say, I such that everybody go and sleep. It's not a problem. When you wake up, come back, and continue the prayer. The Lord is good. All right. I know some people don't like that because I'm not religious enough for them. Listen, if you follow me, your life will be at ease, and you'll prosper a lot. And trust me. The Lord is good. Now, back to my testimony. So, usually the way my life was, that once I hit the bed, I'm asleep. Okay? So, when I was planning my wedding, I noticed something. I'll go to bed, and I was so used to the fact that I'll go to bed at a certain time, I'll fall asleep. So, I will not go to the bed. I lie down on the bed for some time. 1 hour will pass. 2 hours will pass. I'm not sleeping yet. The first day it happened, second day it happened, third day it happened. I wasn't thinking much about it. I was like, why am I not sleeping now? Then, one day I just suddenly realized what was going on. When I'm lying down like that, what am I doing? That wedding dress, how much did they say? Would they have paid salaries before that time? No, even if they pay, because will they even cover it? This cooperative that's supposed to give me a loan, why are they waiting and they have not approved the loan? Okay, there's no problem. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I should go and see Max. Maybe Max will be able to give me the 5,000 there. I'll hold it first, then give it back to him when they pay salary so that, all right, no problem. That should be so. Okay, did you say he's coming next week? Yeah, God. Okay, no problem. No, what I would do is that I they calculate, I they plan, I they calculate. Now, I sleep, go borrow chair for sitting room, sit down there, they wait. Say, Pastor, when you are through, I'll come back. Do you know that I did that consistently for days? And I did not think I was worried. That's the point I'm making. Until one day I asked, why am I not sleeping? And I realized that I wasn't, in quote, worried the way we think about worry. But I actually was spending all the time bothering myself with what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall the bride be clothed? Are you getting my point? I was worried about those things. Listen to me. What is worrying? It is when you spend too much time thinking about one thing. You don't have to feel worried. Let's take money as an example. You take money to pursue something that is not yet imminent. Are you getting what I'm saying? And while neglecting other things that are imminent, that are immediate. Sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. That's what worry is. Worry is when I'm always talking about the same thing. Many of us are worried about our marriage. We want to marry. We never marry. We are worried. And we don't realize it. A lot of people who go praying, their prayer is worry. It's not prayer. Evangelist Temedu is coming to town. He has a special anointing in getting immediate wife for needy husbands or needy young men. They've gone there. They come to church on Sunday. Today, I have come with a special anointing which somebody can connect with right now. Who will connect right now? Tell God, there is one thing in my mind. You will do that for me tonight. And then you come with a special seed. Now, the other night, he was with Evangelist Temedu in indoor sports hall of National Stadium. Today, he's sowing special seed for this same wife. Then tomorrow, there's a special seminar on how to pursue the woman of your dreams. Bobo, don't go there. Hear ye the word of the Lord, you are worried. It's called worry. When you put one thing in your mind all the time concerning your need, and that is what you are, when it's seed sowing time, that is it. Anything prayer, it is if you ask God for one thing, ask God for one thing. Now you did that yesterday. Today you are doing it again. You shall yet do it tomorrow. Listen to me. You are what? Worried. Worry is not when you start pacing up and down. Hey, what shall I do? Please talk to me. Help me. See, my heart is beating. That is extreme worry. Most of the worries that we get involved in life is subtle. It's subtle. A lot of us spend money on a worrying level. Yes, our financial planning is based on worry. It's not based on faith at all. It's based on worry. All money is kept aside for rainy day is money of worry. Yes, that's what it is. That is what it is. People oftentimes don't want, they mix up the issue of like money with, okay, is it wrong to save? This is a simple thing. Listen, assuming I want to buy a car now, you understand my point? And I don't have the total amount of money, you know? It's not like, I think to myself that, okay, I can put this money aside for like every day for a few months, you understand? And this is the price of the car. That's not worry. I'm paying for something. I don't know whether I get my point. I just don't have the money totally at the time. That's not worry. It's different. But it's different from, this is my car. Thank God for it. It has a 5-year life expectancy. It may jam at the end of 4 years. So let me start putting money aside now for when I will need to buy another car. That is the money of worry. Can you see the difference? Do you get the difference? That is it. Now, I'm going somewhere. The main reason why we read that, I haven't explained it. Now, so the Lord said that don't worry about these things. Now, please bear this in mind. He said these are the things the Gentiles eagerly seek. Now, please bear this in mind. Most of the people that go for prayer meetings that are publicized are Gentiles. They are not Christians. I don't know that you get what I'm saying. When your need is driving you up and down, you dare not go for here. They say one man of God is gathering people in Lokoja, and at the end of that meeting, all your financial troubles will come to an end. Then you park and you go to look for a miracle. You are a Gentile. It's nothing wrong with it too, as long as you're a Gentile yet. Nothing wrong with it. No, it's good. I mean, come on. At least you are coming to God. Is that not so? But when you are a Christian, some journeys should be too far for you. Yes, you say, where? Lokoja. Why? He laid hands on people. No, don't worry. Don't worry about it. After laying on hands, you will prosper. Don't worry. Don't worry. Is it prosperity? Don't worry. Why are you going to Lokoja for laying on hands? I shall pray here. I think that should be able to handle. In fact, I prayed yesterday. Let's forget it. Listen to me. I want to say this. I am not saying you can't travel for things. It's for wants that I'm talking about. Most of the people that travel for such things, tell them to go down to Abakaliki here, just 100 kilometers away, for a 3-day seminar teaching on the revelation of righteousness. Meanwhile, these are the things they should travel for. Why am I saying this? He said there are things that Gentiles eagerly seek. Their prayers you must never join as Christians. You go to church. After today, this year, you shall build a house. You don't say amen. It's unnecessary. This year, you will buy a car. You say, Pastor, I knew that last year. This horrendous amen that people will shout, amen! Where do you want to build a house in the village? Where do you want to build a house? What is it? Most of the problems is that you are feeling insecure. You don't need it to. You have a feeling of a poor sense of self-worth, which only having completed a house will solve. That's why you're shouting amen like you want to die like that. Let that amen come like thunder. Then amen. Open house. God is my witness. There are prayer points you will raise now. I won't even say amen. Let me declare upon you. This year, you shall buy your own private jet. I won't answer you. So, I will not. Why won't I answer you? Listen, my guy. When I need a private jet, I will buy it. I don't need a special prayer for it. I pray children of God will get this point. Have that attitude towards your car, your house, and everything, and it will come to you faster. It's like you are pursuing with amen, amen, and seed, and seed, and seed. The car too, they run. Say, this guy is coming. This guy is running. One of our sisters told us a story today. Very funny story. Her mother is 74 years old. And her younger sister who lives in UK said the mother should please come and stay with them for a while. Just come and visit. Very interesting story. So they took the mother to go and do the usual thumb printing, whatever they do at the embassy. First, they had to travel to Abuja, all the way from either Benin or somewhere. So the old woman was not happy about it. When they reached there, the daughter said, okay, mama, sit here, I'm coming. She disappeared for a while to go and sort some other things out all around this. By the time she came back, she found her mother had gotten up from there and was asking somebody to please show her the door from this place. They said, where are you going? He said, since morning, because of London. You must say, please, I don't want to go. Is it by force? Show me the door. I'm going back home. He says, it's not that long ago. They don't even respect elderly people. He said, beg, beg, beg. Find me the door. He became beg. Please, mama, please, please. Sharp, sharp. Sharp, sharp. They attended to her rapidly. Release the visa in 3 days. If they paid for single entry, they got 55 entries. You know, if they paid for 1 year, they got 5. That is, they just, mama, please, take, take. Why? He said, what am I going to look for there? Ah, I said, Jesus is Lord. You know, the normal Nigerians say, there's one joke, you should watch it. How many of you have seen that video? Danny.tv. Ah, you will laugh. The guy said, is that long? Are you going to stay there? I won't stay long. I'll come back soonest. Soonest. What do you do? I'm a professional. What do you want to go do abroad? Abroad is a place where, as a professional, when you go and you come back, your destiny will not be the same again. What is this thing? Nobody knows. So I have to see all the people. Martin Luther King, Washington, D.C. All those people, I have to know them. The woman said, sorry, here we give out British visas. This is the British embassy. The guy said, yeah. So you can help me with that one too. I will still come back. It is those kind of people that they want to die for the visa. They won't get it. I told you my story before. First I went to the American embassy. The woman looked at my account. I said, listen, there's no money inside there. Yes, there's no money. I spent it. And I told her simply, I could have put money in there to impress you. I said, but what is the point? If you want to give me visa, give me visa. This one, I beg. There's no begging in it. To forget this matter. It's people like that that they give these things to. Sometimes you sit at the embassy and listen to people being interviewed. You want to ask people, say, if you were the visa officer, will you give yourself visa? You can see the begging. You understand my point? Please, if you don't give me this visa, my father will die. They won't give you. They won't give. That's how this life is. Those who are begging for it, yes, you can help me with that one too. I will still come back. But as soon as you will come back, he said the place is like market. You go, you will come back. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Honestly, it is those who should, they don't need something, that those things come towards. And there's a spiritual principle in there. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's an understanding the Lord allowed me to have, that which I shared here when we're teaching on some matters some time ago, which I want to repeat again. And I thought about it. Sometimes we actually have needs, true of us. And this happened to me before also. You have less money than you want, you require to solve a problem. And maybe it's recurrent and it comes again and again. Yet Jesus said the Heavenly Father knows. Okay, if he knows, why is he not doing anything about what he knows everything about? And the words of Jesus are correct, they're accurate. He's not making any mistake in what he's talking about. Then I had an understanding. Jesus said, don't pursue what the Gentiles are pursuing. Right? He said, the very things that you need, I don't want you to make them a prayer point. So what do we do? He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Then I got the answer. God is saying, every lack in your life is an indicator for how much you are not seeking the right things. I don't know whether you got that. That in the life of the Christian, lack helps you to know that you are not seeking what is right. Now, it becomes a distraction for a lot of us. We focus on the lack. I don't have a job. I don't have a job. January, I don't have a job. By June, I'm still, I don't have a job. By December, I'm still sowing seed for a job. By the following year, it is this job matter. God said, listen to me. You should have taken your eyes away from it by now. You know what he said? How many of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your height? What was he saying? That, okay, now that you have pursued and sowed seed and prayed about this job for the last 6 months, it should be clear to you that you're not going to get it like that. So he said, okay, what do I do? He said, simple. It's a prayer point. He said, Lord, what is the kingdom? How do I go about seeking the kingdom? What is the righteousness I'm supposed to pursue? If you pursue the kingdom and the righteousness, all other things will then be what? Added. I dare to tell you, most of the things you are looking for in life, they will come to you when you are not thinking about them. They will. They will. The surest way to make it hard for you to conceive as a woman is to be thinking about, you know, go and collect, you know, calendar, you know, calendar. Many of you do have study medicine, you know what I'm talking about. This is the ovulation period. This is a safe period and unsafe period. One day, one man complained to my friend, said that he's tired of his wife. Not tired as he wants to divorce her, that the woman is not letting him rest. That suddenly he'll be sitting there, maybe he's reading. His wife will just come, hey, I think I'm ovulating. I'll think I'm ovulating. He said, I beg that you deliver him. The Lord is good. You know what God says? Just take your mind off these things. Listen, Christians tend to conceive in the most unsafe periods. Like during virginity, you know. Mary, one more, you get my point. I like one thing Bishop Adeyemi said once. He said that, look, that because of revelation, a woman's husband does not even need to be around for her to conceive. That the Holy Spirit overshadowed me. I remember that day when he said it. He did it like this. He said, the Holy Spirit overshadowed me. Now, we can laugh like this, but you know there's revelation inside it. Yes. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what I'm talking about. That is, believers are not allowed to focus on their problems. The problems often become a distraction from focusing on the cross of Christ. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I went into that. Listen, healing comes to us not while we are seeking healing, but while we are seeking the knowledge of the cross of Christ. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, you know, I told you earlier that churches gather around myth. This analysis of curses. Listen, who was your grandfather? When you want to marry, you ask the girl, which village, which is the type of Ogbanje that the ancestors used to have? So you can go for special deliverance against it. That is foolishness. What did I call it? What did I call it? Foolishness. It's foolishness. Listen to me. I'll tell it to you clearly. Confusion is what Christians are involved in when they sit down and start doing spiritual psychoanalysis. You know what I mean? Which village? That your area. Oh, you are from the riverine area. The girl should be, you know, should do, you should give a vaccine against mommy water spirit. Then they start praying. Where is it from? This area. They start praying. I'm telling you, churches gather around African myth. Are you getting what I'm saying? And they crystallize the thing. They make it look as if it is real. When those things are only distractions from success in life and in marriage. That's what they are. What am I saying? When I say those things, I mean the focus, the prayer. Go and tell all those who prayed those prayers that I said that they are wasting time. They are wasting time. They are wasting time. What am I even talking about? Somebody needs to hear it. They are wasting time. You want to marry a woman, you want to check who's her great-great-grandfather. You have never heard that if any woman is in Christ, she's a new creature. All things have passed away. Listen, it is not a curse that's causing the problem in your life. It is lack of focus on the cross of Christ. In the life of a Christian, there are no curses. He said, you don't know her mother. Her mother was a witch. The simple thing, has she given her life to Christ? If she has, witchcraft has been nailed to his cross. I hope you are getting my point. Please, we need a new focus. That's what I'm explaining. That is what I'm explaining. Christians, these days, they interpret all their problems as a sign of a curse, which is not true. It is not true. It is not true. A Christian is not cursed. Did you hear what I said? I must say this thing enough so that all the lies people get told every Sunday, we come to an end one day. You go and buy a book. Let me crack my jokes, then I will close. If you are swimming in your dreams, What's the interpretation? Who knows the interpretation of that one? Okay. Somebody say you're an Olympic champion. Yes, it's true. You're an Olympic champion. Michael Phelps used to swim in his dreams. Listen, let me tell you the truth. I know some people who don't like me saying it. The day I said this on radio, people were really, really angry. I don't care. People were angry from every quarter. I don't care. I'll say it again. If you are swimming in your dream, it has no meaning. If you are eating in your dream, it's a sign of poverty. Listen, you couldn't eat during the day. You should eat at night. One way or the other, you must work. He said, I dream that I'm flying. Is it not in the Bible? You will mount up with wings like what? Eagles. What do eagles do? Fly. I told you, when Jesus showed up, they were afraid. Deliverance came. They were afraid. Sometimes God gives you revelation in your dream. You are causing the revelation. If I find myself flying now, I will thank God. Say, Father, I worship you. The confirmation of the word that says I will mount up with wings like an eagle. I worship. I've risen above. I'm above. I'm above only. I am not beneath. I'm above all the elemental problems of this life. I am above. That's what that dream means. Even if you say, I dreamt that I died. Yes. Thank you very much. Oh, man, this man, you're a good preacher, man. I've been crucified with Christ. The old man is dead. God just showed me the old man. I am not going to die now. I'm going to live to be 104 years minimum. That's the word of God. And not 104. Who is that? Oh, is that my grandson? not that kind of 104. 104 is that they will come. I'm reading on the latest tablet of that time, you know? Screen like this. Oh, this is revelation. Oh, my God. Praise God. Are they ready? All right, let's go now. I stand in the street. That man is 100 years old. Are you serious? Yes. Now, so I go straight. Now, so I go straight like this. Nobody give me any chair to sit down. Say, pa, sit down small. Lie. I will stand like any young man. In fact, I would dare any 40-year-old man. Say, let's run up the stairs. I have seen things like this happen in real life. I've seen 80-year-old men run. And the one I'm thinking about was not even a Christian. It was a Sikh. You know what they call a Sikh? S-I-K-H, one of those sects in India. The guy is a Sikh. And he was about 80-something years old. He was retiring from marathon. What am I going to explain? Listen, don't ever believe. Anybody can have troubles in life. I've said that again and again. Jesus had troubles. You know that? And he said, in this world, you can have tribulations. If you employ Judas, your business will have some problems. Judas was a problem. But that did not mean Jesus was cursed. Why do all these things appear magnified in our lives? It is simple. We focus on them. That's what I'm saying today. But what are we supposed to focus on? On that Christ that has been crucified. On that Christ that was crucified. His crucifixion has a meaning. It means the old man is dead. It means my subjection to the power of the devil is dead. It means my troubles are dead. It means my weaknesses are dead. It means that all things have passed away. It means my old sin nature is dead. Do I want to experience it? Yes. How do I experience it? It's what whether I focus on it or I don't. Most Christians today, they don't focus. And my challenge to you today is that you must focus on that thing. Let's go back to where I started from. Derek Prince said he discovered the word of God, that it's medicine. And he focused on the medicine. And it worked. And it healed him. People, because they want cure for their tuberculosis, they will focus on taking 3 medicines daily for 18 months. I'm saying to you, forget your works. Forget the works. I'm saying focus on the word of truth. Remember what I said earlier? That last time we were talking about the man gazing at that snake. If he is not well yet, he continues to gaze. Why does he continue to gaze? Because he has faith in the words of Moses. I work in a hospital, and patients keep coming to see the doctors that can't cure them. They will keep coming back. See us next week. This treatment has no cure. Next week, you know what? He's back. You come back in 3 weeks' time, that's the treatment has no cure. Okay, this sickness has no cure. But see us in 4 weeks. In 4 weeks, he's back. How are you feeling? I'm still the same. Come back in 6 weeks. Meanwhile, just be eating. This sickness has no cure. In 6 weeks, he is back. Human beings have so much faith in human beings that they can see. Even when the man is honest and tells you, I can't help you. But you know he will come back. And I'm challenging Christians today. Have that kind of faith in the word of God. And those who hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. That's my message. Let's read that scripture. I said we should read it, and I close with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read the Amplified, and then I close with that. He said, but all of us, verse 18. Let me just start from verse 15. And then let's start from verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Let me read the Amplified. It says from verse 18, and all of us as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Why did I read that from the Amplified? I wanted to emphasize something. There is a constant process. What did I call it? A constant process. Listen, the faith that the sick man uses to go and see the doctor, use that faith to face the word of God. Are you getting my point? Don't let anybody deceive you otherwise. That you need another solution apart from that. You don't. If you focus on it and you focus on it, listen, even though your beginning be small, yet your latter end will greatly increase. There is no sickness. There is no ailment that is not cured with the word of God. Did you hear what I said? There is none. Cancer is healed with the word of God. Are you getting my point? There is none. There is no sickness that the word of God does not solve. The problem is, are we focused on that word? If we are focused on it, we will experience the power of God in our lives daily. I hope you got my point today. I hope you are blessed by the word today. If that's the case, let's just bow down and say, Father, we thank you. Quickly make a commitment. Say, Lord, I make my commitment again to focus. To focus. That's the point. To make it a constant focus. A daily focus. A constant focus. Expectantly. Expectantly. That I fix my eyes on the Christ that was crucified for me on the cross of Jesus Christ. Say it, at that cross, my old life was nailed and killed, removed permanently. If the thing appears like he wants to rear his head, I don't fight it. I just return my gaze. I just return my gaze. Say, Lord, I dedicate my eyes and my heart to focusing on that cross. Paul said, I didn't want to know anything amongst you apart from Christ and him crucified. Just say, Father, we thank you.